Warren Church family. Oh, we have to do this every Sabbath. Good morning, church family.
Good morning.
Let's just say with gusto, with enthusiasm. You know, we are blessed because we are among the living. You know, the dead knows nothing, can say nothing, can stay quiet, but we cannot afford to stay quiet. As long as we are among the living and kicking, we must show enthusiasm in everything that we do, because enthusiasm is life, and life is a gift, a precious gift that we all should be thankful for. Today is, of course, the best day of the week. Do you agree with me?
Yes.
It's very sad that Satan has set up the life in such a way that our children and many of us adults have learned to enjoy Sunday. And when we say, isn't today the best day? Some of you may say, yes, but because Sunday is the day you go to the beach. Sunday is the day that you go play sports. Sunday is the day that you relax. So Satan has set up everything for us to change our minds. But please don't let him play this game with you. Keep telling yourself why today is the best day of the week. Why? Because today is Daddy's Day. Is Abba's Day. And when it's Abba's Day, it's our day. Because the only reason Abba established this day is because of us. Not because of him. All days for him are all the same. But this day is special because of his relationship with us. And our relationship with each other as well. As my brother Cleveland was thanking God for the fact that we have opportunity to meet as a family, as a Christian family, that is a privilege that many people are no longer here. I have close friends that COVID got them and they are sleeping. Thank God they are just sleeping. They will wake up very soon. So please don't fall asleep during the service. That is not a good idea. So stay awake, all right? Today's message, the GR attitude. You notice that sometimes in English we say, this person got an attitude. And that is always negative, right? But today I'd like to talk to you about an attitude that you must have. It is so important for you to have this attitude that without it, you won't see Christ. Let me repeat, without the GR attitude, you won't be able to see Christ. Christ will not see you either. Because without this God-redeeming attitude, you won't be able to see God. So pay close attention, please. Harvest celebration. We celebrate harvest. That's what we are celebrating now. That's why we have the popping kings and all those, and the people eat and everything else. Why is we use this? It's because that was actually established by God. Harvest was required by God for us to celebrate. Okay, harvest celebration or festival is an annual celebration that takes place around the time when there is the main harvest. It takes place. This depends on the place or the country. That's the case. Now, harvest time. We do not know much about harvest because some of us have never been in the field, you know, harvesting fruits or anything else. But we do, all of us here knows about a different idea of harvesting. It's called Costco, right? Or Target. That's the way we place we go to do our harvest or whatever. You know, you're very fancy, then you go to other more expensive ones. But all of us know this is the idea of harvesting that we have. The harvest is the time when you reap what we sow. And in other words, if we have planted, then there is something out there for us to harvest. But many people go to harvest when they have planted nothing. They expected, have you met people like that? They have this idea of entitlement. And now the way our country is going down the hill, morally speaking, some people feel like they can walk in into any store and do the harvesting even though they have planting nothing. Only thing that they plant is trouble. And I don't want to be political. I just want to say that is a terrible situation is going on in our country this time, because we are raising children that are, they feel like they're entitled to everything. There are people that are using excuses, using some social issues in order to take advantage of others, innocent people. You must celebrate the festival. This is God's word to you and to myself and to all that loves the Lord and listens to him. You must. What, when God said you must, what that means? He's not asking for your opinion. He's not asking you. He's saying you must, or you won't be able to get the blessings. You must celebrate the festival. So Thanksgiving is a must. And the Bible tells us why is a must. It says you must celebrate the festival of harvest with the first crop of the wheat harvest and celebrate the festival of the final harvest. So God is asking them, the first harvest, I want you to praise me and celebrate the first with the first fruit. And then it says at the end, when you have a harvest, everything else, celebrate again as well. So you celebrate when the beginning, you celebrate at the end of the harvest. And why? Because harvest was a way for people to realize who provides us what we have. Who is feeding us? I don't know in your home, household. In our household, with my beloved wife, she cooks very well. And every time I eat, I tell her, even to this day, I say, thank you so much for the food. And we have said this for, as we raise our children, the children are gone, and we still say the same thing. Sometimes we take for granted those that we love the most, and we shouldn't. We should always be grateful. Thanksgiving Day, traditionally, is a time to give thanks for the harvest and express also gratitude in general. The world's perspective of Thanksgiving is limited to annual festive day, and by the way, it's not a holy day. Don't call it holy what is not holy. It's just a festive day, a day for us to celebrate, okay? They use food, and also the word prosperity is part of a, nothing wrong about that. Some people think that it's wrong for us to use food to celebrate. No, it's not. It's part of being human. What we should not is use food to replace the one we want to thank for. Sometimes we look at the food and we are thankful for the food and we forget who provide the food, who prepared the food, and that is very important as well. Number three, truth, Thanksgiving should be identified and verified by a life of a thanks living. When you think about the word Thanksgiving, think about thanks living is much better. All right, live a life of gratitude. Now, you must be grateful. I must be grateful. Why? Because God is the one who provides everything that we need, all our needs. You know, the scripture that Sister Diane used today, you can read Matthew chapter 6, 31 to 33, and you see God says, why do you worry about those little things? Start worrying about what you're going to be dressing, what you're going to eat. The Lord provides. He does always. That's why Seventh-day Adventist has the best privilege in the world about God's provision. Why? Because we are not there working, saying that we provide. We are here in Abba's house saying he provides. Because he provides, I can rest. The people out there that does not have the concept of the Sabbath, unfortunately, they work, and it's never enough. Never enough. But for us, God provides that that is enough. Be grateful. The word grateful has the word grace into it. The word grace means favor. And so it says, be always aware that God made you a receptive of his grace. The reason why you live, the reason why you eat, the reason why you sleep, all the things you do is because God has shown his grace to you. And therefore, you must be full of grace. And that is grateful. When you are full of grace. Now, I like this illustration very much. When the Lord is the one, when he puts the seed on the ground, it will grow. It will multiply. And then we celebrate because the Lord, yes, the Lord pours down his blessings upon us. Our land will yield its bounty harvest. That's Psalms 85, verse 12, New Living Translation. Again, you must celebrate. Second, celebrate the festival of harvest when? When you bring me the first. The first harvest, the first things you collect, you bring. That is when you celebrate. And says, again, when you have harvest all the crops, then you celebrate again. One, twice we should celebrate Thanksgiving, the beginning and the end. Not just once. No grocery shopping. What day we should not go shopping? You must work 6 days, but on the seventh day you must rest. Do you know the devil has told the Seventh-day Adventist people a lie? Don't be surprised he does that. He's the father of lies. He's telling you that the beginning of the Sabbath is not really the beginning of the Sabbath. It's just Friday evening. So you'd be amazed how little this psychological thing affects your behavior. Because whatever you think, you behave. If you think that it's Friday night, the word Friday is still a day for you to work and to do your shopping. But brothers and sisters, it is not Friday night. It is actually the beginning of Abba's day. Don't forget. Please don't. Even during the planting season and the harvest season, God told the people of Israel, even if you see over there in the field that something needs to be collected, don't get up and go shopping. Don't pick up anything on the Sabbath. Observe the Sabbath. Dedicate it. Don't let your stomach separate you from your worship, your relationship with Abba. He provides to you. So stay still. He always have. He always will. But you need to put in his hands your trust completely. When you observe the Sabbath, all the statement that you make into Satan and everything else, he says, I trust my Father. He is a good provider. Everything that I need, he provides. Therefore, I trust him. Amen. Celebrate. How do we celebrate? There is no greater way to celebrate than to trust the one that you love. It says clearly, Exodus 20, verse 8 to 11, it says, remember. He doesn't want us to remember the day. Some of us think, oh, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And we keep thinking about the Sabbath day. The Sabbath day is just a moment for us to really remember the one who created the Sabbath day to be remembered, which is Abba. Remember who you are. You're not just anybody. You're Abba's child. Amen. That's what he wants you to remember. Because when you know who you are, then you do what you're supposed to do. Yes. No harvest on the Sabbath. God is the one who gives seed to the farmer and bread for food. He is the one. He will give you, my brother and sister, all the seed that you need and make it grow. It says, so there will be a great harvest from your goodness. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10, New Century Version. Now, those lazy, you know, there are people that are, all they want is to sit at home doing nothing. And they don't worry about it because the check will come in the mail. And our government sometimes is send a lot of checks to make sure that everybody stays at home, watch good TV, and do nothing else. He says, "Will those too lazy to plow in the right season will have no food at the harvest." You know, when you go to a refrigerator, you take something and eat, and then you go get another thing. Mommy, we're out of juice. Or go, we have to go and get more. Sometimes people just take, and they don't put anything else back. The greatest gift is, what is the greatest gift? Life. Life is the greatest gift, because when God gave us life, God came and allow us to have him in ourselves. So that is the presence of God in us. And no good example better than Jesus Christ, the creator of life himself, surrendered his life for us. He says if we love him, you know, just the way he loved us, not only he will accept the life he gives, but we also surrender our lives to him. He gave his only son, that whoever believes in him may not be lost, but have eternal life, life forever. Now, the greatest action is giving. And by the way, you can tell the level of spirituality of a person by the way he or she gives. You can measure the whole personality, the character of a person, but the way the person gives. And I'm not talking about just giving to the church, or I'm talking about giving in general. How generous you are with others. And by the way, we never seen a person that is a giving person to be poor. Amen. Only the rich gives. And I think when I say only the rich gives, I'm not talking about the one who has a lot. Because I have seen a lot of people who has a lot of money and they are very poor. You know what I'm talking about, right? There are people that have a lot of stuff. There are so many stuff that they don't even know what they have. And they are very poor. But there are people that have very, very little and yet they are rich. Because a person who has God as his partner owns everything. Because my Abba owns everything. And if my father owns everything, guess what my inheritance will be? Everything. The greatest feeling is, of course, love. The greatest attitude, now this one you already know. What is the greatest attitude? Gratitude. The GR attitude. God's redeeming attitude. That is the greatest. Now, here is a secret. If you want a ticket to succeed in life, I have never seen one single person that was grateful did not succeed in life. Every person who is grateful succeeds in life. Why? Because they learn to be content. You know, the content is the secret of being able to enjoy every single step, every single thing you accomplish in life, you enjoy. Instead of saying, I take one step, oh, I should have taken 10. Oh, I take two steps, oh, I should have taken 20. Don't think about what you should. Think about what you are done and what you could. Do it and enjoy the ability to do. Gratitude is a ticket to success. Yes. Gratitude is the secret for everything that we want to accomplish in this life. And you know, the word success up there is flashing to make sure that you don't forget the gratitude is. Now, how many of you here speaks more than one language? Almost everybody. That's great. So you may be able to see some of those words here. Anybody knows what this word? This word? That's Hebrew. Tada. Yes. Tada. Now, some of you may know Eucharisto. That's Greek. You're supposed to know this. Is your background. Grazie mille. And this one, anybody knows this one? Shukran. Anybody know this? Espasibo. I know that somebody back there knows this one because her language used some of the same. This one? Sheshe. This one? You know this one. Arigato. Yes, arigato. Salamat. Salamat po. Man, he knows the salamat, right? Sister, you know this one, Sister Akeli. Fafetai Tali, right? All right. And also, mahalo. Two words. I went with my wife for honeymoon in Hawaii. We learned only two words. They spoke a lot of words to us, but only two stayed in our minds. One that is impossible for you not to remember. You must be brainless if you don't learn aloha, because they say aloha in so many ways. So aloha is evident. But this one is something that is stuck in my mind, mahalo. Now, Dankeschön. You know all this German and Dutch. Asante sana. Brother Kisak, what that means? Oh, yes. One Kisak jumped in and said it quickly. Zikomo. Okay. And then? Gracias. Merci. Terima kasih. That's in Hindu. This one, Sister Zinka knows this one. I'm not going to try to pronounce it. I heard pronounced a few times, but I'm not going to try to. And of course, everybody knows this one, right? Thank you. There are many other words that we could put on the screen, but what is the message here? Gratitude. A way for us to express that we are grateful for the things that we receive in life. As I was studying these words and many others, I noticed something that is keep repeating. The word grateful has grace to it. The word grace is part of it. Gracias in Spanish, grazie in Italian. Merci is the same, with the same intent of a grace, you know, the same. And by the way, merci is used in many different other languages as well, because when the French occupied part of Africa and other parts in the Middle East, and every place they went, the word merci stuck in the culture. Just like in the Filipino, they use salamat, which is the influence of the Arabic. We see this, people get a word that kept repeating so many times, and then they grab that and they adopt and they keep it. That happens in middle. Now, you see the word obrigado over there. Many people in Portuguese says obrigado, meaning thank you. No, that doesn't mean thank you. It means I'm obliged to. The proper word in Portuguese to be said, and no Portuguese, none of them use this anymore. We lost that. It's supposed to be agradecido, means I'm grateful. Because obrigado implies that I have no idea if this is a favor or not. I feel obliged to you. I owe you something. What do I owe you? And the person says, por nada. That means for nothing. Don't mention. Then I know there is a favor. Now is the time for me to say, I'm grateful. Agradecido. The same thing it used to be in English. It used to say, I'm obliged to you. And the person says, please don't mention. Oh, thank you. And so now today we just say thank you and we walk away. We don't even know if the person really, we are killing the meaning of being grateful. Be grateful. Always pursue what is good and you'll be a grateful person. Always rejoice and you will be a content person. always pray, and will be always a person full of faith, faithful, and also grateful. And always, brothers and sisters, be content. Learn to be satisfied, because that's the secret of happiness. In everything, give thanks. Everything, no matter what happens, look for what is good, and good will be always in front of you. Let me repeat this. Look for what is good, and good will be always in front of you. And what is always in front of you, you become what you behold. So that's why it's so important to have always good in front of us, because not only we become what we behold, but those that follow us become exactly the same thing as well. So in everything, give thanks. Be grateful always, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. This is a commandment. For you to be grateful is a commandment of God. You must. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18, New King James Version. Be always grateful. Don't love money. Don't love money, because money has made a lot of people very unhappy and miserable. The more you have it, the less peace you have it. Believe me, not because I have, because I have seen others, okay? That's not a problem that I have. Don't love money. Be satisfied with what you have. For God has said, I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. Don't make money your God. Hebrews 13, verse 5, New Living Translation. Now, I know what is to be in need. And I know what is to have plenty. I don't know how many of you here, I'm going to repeat this again. I don't know how many of you have stayed 2 hours without eating. And you thought, oh, I'm starving. I have seen people that are so dramatic. They stay half an hour without putting something in their mouth. And they say, oh, I'm starving, Mom. I'm starving. If you stay a whole day without eating, oh, I can't. What about staying a whole week without eating? What about stay months without eating properly? What about when you look in a mirror and you see that your body is eating itself? I went through that experience, and I had ulcer in my stomach at the same time. And believe me, when you're hungry and your stomach asks for something, you have nothing to do in, and the acid goes to the stomach and the ulcer is there and the acid gets to this. Oh, believe me, I don't wish that for anyone. I have learned, brothers and sisters, I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. I remember those days, and I told my wife, if I had to live my life again, I wouldn't change anything. Because there is no greater teacher in your life than need. Because when we have need, we learn trust. We learn how to really enjoy the things that we are able to acquire by God's grace. Whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, the secret here is I have learned to be content. I wish you could repeat this with Paul, because I like to repeat it with Paul. I have learned to be content. Therefore, I'm grateful. Now, this is a map of the world. And below are the people. And then there is a nation that we are blessed to be part of it. I am an American. I'm very blessed to be here. I'm very blessed to be part of this. It is a country that is my country by choice. I'm not stuck here because I was born here. I'm here because I chose to adopt this country as my nation. And blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people who has chosen as his own inheritance. Yes, brothers and sisters, we have been blessed as a nation, and we are losing the blessings because we are walking away from God as well. Pray for your nation. pray for this country, because whatever this country goes, the whole world goes. And we cannot afford to go any other place but up. Here is somebody who is coming. And I'd like to say to you that he is coming only to pick up the grateful. Have you adopted the GR attitude yet? Have you embraced the GR attitude, the redeeming, God's redeeming attitude? I hope everyone can look at you and see the GR attitude in everything you do in your life. This is our prayer for all of you. At this time, I would like to ask the Aquilina family to come forward, please. Please, please. So in the same order, yes, this is a good order. As a church, we like to express our gratitude to this family. Their ministry to us, their love to this church, their dedication. Amen. We are not here to praise them. Please don't take us wrong. We are here just to praise God because of them, because God sent them here to be part of our church family. I don't want to get too emotional because I'm the kind of old-fashioned. I don't like to let tears come to my face. So, but the Lord knows how our heart feels. And as the Vista Church, we like to express our deepest gratitude. Brothers and sisters, if you didn't have a chance maybe to write in the cards that we are giving to them, please feel free to say to them, I'd like to write in your card. And they will provide you the card, because we didn't have the time to give to everyone an opportunity to write in the card. But please, sister, they want you to, my brother here wants to take a picture of you, okay, go ahead. We want to for you to have something under your Christmas tree. Okay? We want to for you to have, you can take the mask. I don't have anything you can catch, I hope. Okay, we ask our brother, our elder, church elder, his wife and my wife to come forward and to give you something for you to put under your Christmas tree. Okay? For Sister Madeline, the one with flowers, of course. The heavy one, right? And then the flowers. Sister Elson, yes. This is on behalf of our church, okay? This is not from the Elson family. This is from the entire church, okay? And this is supposed to go here, sister, okay? This is for you. And now, Brother Brett. And this goes inside there, brother. Don't lose it. Okay, and then Brother Justin, we are going by the hierarchy here, okay? You notice that we took care of the lady first. And then now Brother Justin, this is for you, don't lose it. Okay? And the most important one we left for last. Right? Right? Nah, he's too modest. We like the church now, if you can, please. Would you stand and show them how grateful you are? You can do this to them and just say, we wish you all the best. We wish that you can bless others as well as you have blessed us. We are so, so, so very much grateful and thankful for all that you have done for this church. And I hope, I know that envy is sin, but I already envy another church, the church that will get you to come there. We envy. Now, at this time, if you want to say something, any one of you, go ahead. You may be seated, please.
another month, so this is not the final goodbye. I just believe the schedule between now and the end of the year will be kind of busy here at the church. So we're very thankful, obviously, for Pastor and the church family for being a great church family for us. And I think it's more of a reflection of all the niceness and the gracefulness of each one of you who've, when we're probably not feeling at our best, to do it for the church family. So I think it's more of a reflection of feeding off our all year, the church family's, you know, happiness and love of God. And because, right, it takes more than one to raise a village. And it's been a great couple of years, and we're looking forward to holding all you to the opportunity to be there at the right side of the tree at that time. So
3 o'clock.
3 o'clock. Thank you, Pastor. Yes. So again, it's not a goodbye. We're just passing through. So I'm not sure if Maddie or Justin or Ethan has anything else to say, but thank you for being such a beautiful church family. And by God's grace, thank you so much.
I thought I'd let you know why this decision came about. My mother has dementia, and so I'm taking an early leave, even from my career. My mother came to stay with me this summer for 2 months, and I hadn't really been home since I was 18, so this is probably the longest that I've been with her. In that time, I had an opportunity to see her condition, and she actually didn't want to go back. She wanted to stay with me, but it wasn't possible because we weren't in a position to have her stay. So I spoke to my sister and my brother-in-law and Brad, and we kind of had a family get together to decide the future. And we decided it was important that they, one, leave Hawaii because of all the lockdowns with COVID, that if my mother's condition got worse, I wouldn't be able to go home in case they shut the island down, which they were doing quite a bit. So my sister made plans, and they ended up moving to Spokane in August. And we had a little bit more of a tough time because the boys were both with us, and we weren't sure about the logistics of being able to find property and get there quick enough. A short little miracle was we actually found something here, and we thought we were going to just move into a bigger place here. But I was really nervous. It would require both Brett and I to work full time. And he finally thought about it, and he said, you know, even if Mom were to move in with us, you and I would be gone working all the time. How is that possible? So I told him, yeah, it's not going to work. So then he said, you know what? Let's look again. So we did. And I kid you not, when God decides it's time, everything fell into place in 1 week, literally 1 week. We had 5 major hurdles to get over. Amen. And we didn't get the last prayer answered till 1 hour before getting on the plane to Spokane to go look at the property.
Amen.
And that miracle was he needed the job transfer because I wasn't going to work anymore. So I just want you to know that, you know, it's amazing to let God work.
Amen.
We're truly going to miss you. You know, we've been here a long time. I remembered when we were leaving, there was other families that were also transitioning out. If you remember, like Victoria and Ron and all that group. And we just decided very early on as a family we would step up. You know, because we just love the church.
And we are blessed that you did.
So, you know, I encourage you, stay. And you all have so many amazing gifts.
Amen.
You know, so I really pray that the church thrives even more. And just like Pastor said in my song today, you know, right side, Tree of Life.
Amen.
And if any of you are in Spokane, oh, inside kind of joke, we're moving closer to the caves. Which means if you need to leave the cities, you have a place to go because you've got friends now in high places. All right.
Amen.
You're welcome to come and visit. Yes.
Hello, church family.
Hello.
I mean, I just want to say thank you to everyone here that has been with me and Justin growing up, because, I mean, we've been here since I was in, like, first grade, so it's been a long time here. We've met so many amazing people and formed so many awesome relationships, and I just want to thank you all for everything that you've done to support me and my brother. Another thing was my mission trip. A lot of you helped support me to help pay for that, and I just want to thank you again for that.
Amen.
And just anything else I can. So, amen. Thank you.
Hello, church family. Along the same lines, I'd like to say thank you to everybody, all the families I've gotten to meet over the years, all the friends I've been able to make, and I'll miss a lot of you. And in regards to me and my brother, well, we look forward to seeing you guys again, maybe within a couple months, a year, whenever we come down to visit. And yeah, as far as the future goes, I look forward to seeing you all again. Thank you.
Amen. Once again, thank you so much, family. We hope that you have a very blessed season. Don't worry, don't look too much backwards, look forward, because the Lord has great plans for all of you. And I know that you will continue being a blessing to a lot of people. Young ones, don't leave the Lord behind, okay? Wherever you go, make sure that He is the one who leads. It's very important. We spend a lot of hours together studying the Bible. I remember those, and I miss those days. You know, all the remarks, the wonderful questions. Some of them we even use for the sermons, remember? And that will be wonderful memories that we always have. And so God bless all of you. And please don't ever forget Vista. Vista won't forget any of you. Now, There is a lunch that we like to thank the TIAG, Sister Donia, and those that have put together a lot of effort. We have also those that came to do the cleaning, Brother Jed, Sister Helene, Sister Cheryl, and all Sister Esther, the Biton, all those of you that have put effort to make sure that this, it is beautiful, is well decorated, and I hope that we will have a moment to be grateful and also to create new memories. This is the time of the year that you should look back and see how blessed we are. Not only because God gave gifts like this, but because God will always provide all the gifts that we always need. May God be with all of you. Have a very blessed Thanksgiving. Remember, is Thanksgiving is more important. Let's stand together and sing. Before we sing, I'm going to ask Brother Brett to pray for the food, so we don't have to pray down there. He can pray right now, okay? Before we sing, he'll pray for the food.
Okay. I hear your stomach's growling so loud. Yeah. Let's bow our heads. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, for always providing for us. Lord, as we depart the church service, we ask for a special blessing on the food that we are about to partake in. Please bless the food. Please bless those hands that prepared it. And please bless those who helped put together this Thanksgiving Sabbath luncheon for us. Be with each of the families that are here today, Lord. Guide us and direct us. We know you're coming soon. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
I don't like to make announcements after the message, but I would like to say this. Next Sabbath, the Lindsay's family is going to be here. Brother Ron is going to preach. Sister Victoria is going to teach the Sabbath school lesson. And the girls will have a special music. So it will be another celebration next Sabbath. So, and also on the December the 4th, Please come and support the children, because the EAA children will be providing the service musical the first Sabbath of December. Now, sister, go ahead.